Let us now come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you on this wonderful Sunday morning to praise and glorify your holy name. And we praise you with our hearts and minds, for we know that there is nothing better than to know you and to love you and to adore you, for you are the greatest good, the most holy God, the righteous one. In all of your perfections, Father, it is you who deserve that honor and power forever. And may we, with heart and mouth, confess just that. And this morning we come here together because we have followed our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who calls us into his presence. And may it then also be that as we follow this good shepherd, that he will lead us into green pastures and grant us also all that we need today and every day. But as we look to our shepherd, Father, we also confess to you that we have wandered and continue to be prone to wander each day again. Forgive it all. Gather us in, hold us close. For we desire your grace and your care and your guidance. And so may it be that also as we read your law, we take it to heart as that law that sets us free. And not so much because we do it and follow it completely, perfectly, but because it drives us to the shepherd who guides his sheep, who carries his lambs, who watches over his flock. And so would you bless us this morning? Bless our day of rest. May we bask in the presence of our Savior. May we come to know him and receive all that we need and be encouraged and exhorted. And above all, may grant give you the glory, the honor, and the power that you are so worthy of. That you, Father, Son, and Spirit, may be praised and glorified once again, and that we may find in you our rest. We praise this all. We pray this all in the name of our Savior. Amen. This morning, we're continuing kind of that topical series on the church and getting now to another image, another language that the Bible uses for the church, which is that language of body. And for that, we'll be focusing on Romans 12. But let's now turn in our reading first to the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that is the word of God as we prepare for our text. Well, now sing Psalm 68, stanzas 1 and 7. Psalm 68 is also quoted elsewhere in Ephesians 4 as a verse that also illustrates Christ's victory, and because of his victory, then also is giving gifts to the church. And so we'll then also sing those, stanza 7 and the first one. So Psalm 68, stanzas 1 and 7. Let's now turn to these verses that will be our text this morning in Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. There we read the following: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." So those are the verses I will be looking at this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, over the last couple of weeks or so, well, at least a couple of breaks, we've been reviewing some of the language that the Bible uses for the church, as mentioned. And it started off with the fact that we are the called ones, but then it starts also to work out what this calling really entails. Now, we're saints, holy. The church should be cleaned and cleansed. That kind of imagery. The fact that we are those who worship and are together all on the stage or the podium. And we'll be reviewing some more aspects in the coming weeks. One of the things, though, that we've been kind of noticing already, perhaps in the past couple weeks, and we'll continue to notice, is that really none of the calling that the church is given can be worked out on our own. It should be done together. And also that's a major encouragement within Scripture. It's not like, you are called, here is your to-do list, now you have to go and do this on your own. No, God gathers a people, He puts them together, and as we'll see, He gives them different gifts that together, relying on one another, using each other's strengths and gifts, we may make our calling true. And that is what the Bible really teaches us when it uses that language of the church as a body. We'll look at that this morning. Christ's church, one body. This language of the church as a body is used quite a bit in the New Testament. Just a couple of examples. It's found in one of those verses that we read in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. It's likely the well-known chapter in 1 Corinthians 12, which starts off with this, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. And Ephesians 4, talks about, so that the body of Christ may be built up. This idea of the church as a body features prominently in the New Testament. And it's also then found in those verses that we read this morning, as our text, Romans 12. Let's start by looking at them in their context. It doesn't just jump right into the fact that we are a body. No, it starts with a direct word to each one of us. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Stands out that these verses have that like particular pointedness to them, saying like, to each one of you, I'll say this. The section is about our individual varying gifts and opportunities. And as such, it says, let's first home in on the right attitude, the right mindset for this to take place. That we may appreciate the fact that we are one body. And the mindset is this, that one of not thinking too highly of yourself, but rather thinking with sober judgment. Kind of using the Greek as a background. You can kind of maybe think of it as, you know, don't have hyper thoughts about yourself. Rather have healthy or clear thoughts. Exaggerated thoughts about yourself versus sober ones. Why do you think it starts here? Why start this way? It kind of deals directly with what is really important also for being a body, doesn't it? The big point about there being a body is that the body is comprised of all different parts, various gifts and roles, and that they've been given each according to the faith that has been given to you. Or as verse 6 will later say, using the not faith, but grace given to you. And this right away acknowledges that there's going to be a variety within the church, which is great. Which is exactly what God wants. Except we don't always so easily accept that or appreciate it. The fact that we sometimes maybe try to rank gifts or roles or positions within the church. Always wondering maybe what, because there's differences, is there one that's better than the other? But no. The text right away starts to think, no, first of all, let each one consider what has been given to you. And just even consider how that line, that phrase already starts to kind of sober us up. Faith God has given you. It's a gift. What it's talking about here as faith is most likely kind of faith or grace in verse 6. The kind of idea that we all have certain strengths also within our faith and the area in which we may serve and work. Think about it. It's a gift. As we've seen all along, the fact that we are the church is a work of God's grace. It's the fact that God has called us that we may believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, have forgiveness of our sins, and have that identity now as His children, His family, His people. And that is what the church and what we all individually should be all about. That we're all saved by Christ and that we then also all have a place within the church. But significantly, He doesn't make us all the same. We are all saved by the same Savior, but He doesn't make us all the same. Our faith may have different weaknesses and strengths. The grace that has been given us is varied in that it may give different gifts. That we may actually find our spot within the church. That we may be all different members of one body. This is where then the text continues, and the language of body comes in. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The body has all different parts, different functions. I look at each one of us, we may have hands and feet. You look at your face, you'll have nose and ear and eyes. If we could look inside, we'll find all kinds of organs, different roles, a heart, liver, lungs. The list can go on. And yet, we also know that they are all part of me. They're all part of you making up this body. And it's together that they allow us to live, to breathe, to eat, to move, to hear, to see, so much more. Very different parts, and yet they all belong together. And they all form one body. And our passage says, that is what the church is. In the church, you'll find very different people. Find different people, you also find very different gifts. Everyone has their own talents, their own strengths, their own interests that really just make them who they are and make them unique. As I said, we may be tempted to compare and wonder, okay, which one is better than the other, maybe form some kind of ranking and think that, yeah, like as the world often ranks people, so within the church we should rank people. But remember how this started. We need to be sober-minded. Sober thoughts about ourselves. And it means seeing the people around you as, yeah, those who will have different gifts according to what God has given them. Doesn't mean, you know, they should start their own church or that they don't really have a place within the church because they're different. No, definitely not. In fact, the variety is necessary, just as it is necessary in the body. Wouldn't function otherwise. We depend on the gifts and strengths of our brothers and sisters, and without them, let's acknowledge without them we would be missing out. Because everyone else brings something different to the table. And it's only together that we have a balance of variety and stability. Our passage mentions a couple of different gifts. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There's quite a bit of variety also among the church in the kind of gifts that you may have. Teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, serving, speaking. You know what's even more interesting? Like this language of the body is found in other parts of the New Testament, so there are different lists in the New Testament as well. Various gifts that can be given. And yet none of these lists are ever all the same. It may include some are similar, others that are different. Which is interesting. Just think about it. As different letters are sent to different churches, they also have different lists of gifts that may be seen there. Think about it, yeah, like even every church in some ways. Yes, full the body of Christ, but has even different strengths or weaknesses, different gifts more than others. I know many of you have been members of other churches perhaps in the past. You might have noticed that, like, yeah. Some churches may have like an abundance of leadership. They can pick basically any number of men. Others are like, oh, scrambling to always find some. Sometimes deacons may have an abundance of funds to be able to do their work, and other times it is really a sacrifice of the church to take care of the needy. And we notice it in other areas. Yeah, even the church may have its own strengths and weaknesses, and yet also that church is one body. It has what it needs. It has the gifts that it needs in accordance to what God has planned for it. And that really is the point of this language of the church as a body, that the church is united in all of its different gifts. The picture and goal is one of unity. One body. A picture of coordination. And bringing together different people, the common goal and focus. Yet, how does this take place in the church? What does this look like here? I think when we reflect on it, you can see it in a number of different ways, different levels taking place. Church often is all about people, individuals helping one another. Very thankful to see that happening, and people's sometimes certain needs and gifts are met just kind of one-on-one, organically, naturally, through the fellowship and the interconnectedness of the church. Gifts and needs being matched. Sometimes it's more structured. Just think about it. How does this worship today take place? Right? We have a goal. We want the church to be able to worship together. So as we also saw, it's like one of the most important things that we do together as a church, coming together for worship. So it's kind of like, okay, we have this end goal. What do we need for it? Well, we need to line someone up to be a preacher. We need an accompanist, if we can, a sound guy who'll be in the booth, ushers that'll be there in the morning, babysitters when the nursery is open, elders can figure out who's doing what, deacons may have a game plan for how they'll do the collection. Okay, we're focused on how can we make worship happen, and we get those people together, can make it together happen. It's another example. I'm going to be very thankful for it in all those ways that we are able to do that. Let's think a little bit further. There's also other ways. There's more to the church than just worship. We, as a church, also serve one another. There's that need for ministry within the body. And, of course, also ministry towards the world and those outside of it. How do we organize that? Let's think about how we do that as church here in Vernon. Well, in order for kind of gifts and needs and callings to be lined up, we often do so in committees. Just the practical outworking in our context to try to make this happen, what it means to be a body. It's not all that it means, but it's an aspect of it. And it's important to keep this idea of the church as the body of Christ in mind when we organize the church this way. It's like with so many things. We can easily forget and quick to forget why we're doing things, and that may just cause difficulties. Let me just tease this out a little bit with two sides to this. In some ways, setting up committees is wonderful and great. It shows you have these gifts, you put them together. But when you put committees together, you end up probably putting people who are like-minded together. Similar gifts, maybe similar goals. Not always. They may have to learn to work together as well. But they have maybe some strengths that they have in common, which is great because that is the intent. Pool resources together. But also just try to think, what may go wrong with that? Put all kinds of like-minded people together. What may go wrong with that? Well, would they maybe start to forget about that they're set up to serve the wider body? Now, we almost always, like, you put us together with like-minded people, and we're like, yeah, of course. You know, our gifts are probably the most important. It's crucial that we do this, and maybe, you know, we make it of first importance. And we maybe get sidetracked, thinking that we're just able to do our own thing, because that's what we're here to do. You read Scripture, and it talks about a body working together. That means that all of these gifts are always meant to serve the wider body. And that is also what is meant to keep everyone also within the church on track. But no committee is ever set up to do their own thing. No one here has been given a gift so that they may just, you know, do their own thing within the church. And committees are not even set up to just, you know, serve council, even though that's kind of how we organize things. It's not the case. It's meant to be for the good of the congregation. It's meant to be for the good of the body. Any work that committees, councils, anyone else as individual really does with those gifts is meant to serve the wider body. That's one side. Secondly, the opposite can kind of happen as well. We may establish a committee, like-minded people. They are zealous for doing good and to doing what they kind of have as their mandate. Doing it with the body of Christ, with the church in mind, but then not being received as such. It's an example. Has anyone ever thought, like, oh yeah, though, of course, we'll put all those who are interested in evangelism together in a committee. They can do their thing, but just make sure that it doesn't, like, don't let them bother with me, because it's not my interest. We'll expand on the role of evangelism mission in a couple of weeks, but that may just be a decent example. But wait a minute, no, that's wrong thinking. Committee is there and people are given gifts, not just so that they can do their own thing as a subsection of the congregation off on their own, but that they may serve and equip the saints, the whole body. And so also an evangelism committee is going to have that in mind. How do we equip the congregation? But consider then also this morning, how do you receive the work that is done by your brothers and sisters? Refugee Aid Committee, it's ramping up. They're going to get a refugee family in. People zealous for doing good to be able to, again, look at the needs that are outside the world, put people together so that we as a church may meet them and do good. But obviously, they cannot sponsor a family on their own, and they cannot get all of the work done on their own. They're also doing this for the good of the congregation. a fellowship committee. I know that they've changed their format a bit, but pretty clearly, like, without input or reception by the congregation, there isn't really any fellowship that's going to happen. Not beyond maybe that they meet together. Some committees may have the benefit because everyone figures it's their duty to do. I was going to mention the nursery committee in some ways. Well, they are closed today, but maybe many people think like, oh yeah, no, this is one thing, we just have to take a turn. But even there, it may just be a subsection of the congregation. My point is, how do you receive those who are seeking to build up the body with their gifts and initiatives? Whether more formally, committees, whether more informally. Will you brush it off as soon as it's like, well, that's not really my interest? Or will you find a way to encourage your brother and sister? Will you find a way to benefit from their strengths and their gifts? From their enthusiasm? And don't get me wrong, there's going to be times when you very clearly cannot 100% commit to every initiative and anything, every committee and thing that is going on within the church. But even then, in the way that you may show interest, in the way that you may share encouragement, you will reveal what you think about the body of Christ. It will reveal whether you see the body as one or not. It will reveal whether we're thinking that this is just something that a subsection of the congregation can do, or if this is a function of a body that is united, that is thinking, sacrificing, moving, and organizing for the sake of everyone. Consider the work that is done by your brothers and sisters. Be thankful for it. Also see them as serving the body of Christ. That it is a wonderful thing and cannot and should not be taken for granted. You see then also how we all need to keep that language and that imagery of the body, of the church as a body in mind. Because really also, as I've been trying to say, like, whatever is valid for committees applies to us all and all of the work really that the church does, members of the church do. We have to act in a way that builds up the church, so that we will be that united and grow in maturity in Christ, using all of the different gifts that God has placed within this congregation with that goal. And it's a fascinating thing that the Lord unites His church by giving us all these different gifts, by making us all of these different parts that have to work together. And in connection with that, I'll just mention Stephen Ministry briefly. It's another opportunity to mention some committee that work within the church. And by maybe just giving you a little bit more insight in what it is about, you'll have opportunity to support or to encourage or to make use of it, of those gifts within the church. So one of the things that anyone who's involved with Stephen Ministry has to learn is that you have to set process goals, not result goals. And let me explain. I mean, most areas of life, you're kind of focused on results. You go to school, you try to set up your company, or at work, you know, how do we get this done? How do you get to that point? Check the box on that. But Stephen Ministry is seeking to be biblical and teaching this focus on process in light of God's Word. Where it says, like, we are always just the workers. In Corinthians will say, you know, one planted, another watered, but it's God who gives the growth. Or where in Scripture you'll find, like, it's not us who come and we heal people. No, we rely on God's Spirit and we rely on His Word. And so what it means that if you ever do use and make use of Stephen Ministry within the church and they come and meet with you, they're not going to be there to try, like, okay, how can we get you from point A to point B? How can we fix you or your problem? They're just there to listen, to support, to encourage, and help you work through whatever you are dealing with as process goals, not results to try to get you from here to there. And it's such an important mindset Because it lets a Stephen minister just focus on the process, on being there for you, and not really on where you're going. Since that is a scriptural approach, let's think through how that applies to other areas in life, other areas within the church. Let me suggest one. We can try to force unity within the church as much as we want. As a result, but it probably is just not going to work. True unity within the church is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a gift of God. To focus just on the results, it's not truly relying on the Lord. But what does He give us? Well, He gives us a process. Now think about it. It's an overwhelming task to think, like, how can we make the church united? How can you be united and tuned in with the body of Christ? How can all of these differences that we find within the church be a blessing and not a cause for division? It seems to be an overwhelming task, but if we follow the word of the Lord, if we think about the process that He has given us and ask, maybe just very simply, how can I share my gift, my time, my effort, whatever God has given me with the church? And we did all just that. We focused on the process. But then, yes, with the blessing of the Lord, the process will bear result in unity or in peace, as that was tied together in Colossians 3. Or love, as the very next verse is here in Romans 12. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Focus on the process. How can I share my gift, my time, my effort, my brothers and sisters? How can I receive the effort, the time, the gifts of my brothers and sisters in a godly way? And as we put that into practice, we'll learn, come to see that, you know, that teaching, the doctrine that the church is the body of Christ, it is wonderful. It means that there's no unimportant member. Everyone has something to contribute. Everyone has been given grace, has been given faith according to what God saw fit to make this church work. And teach us to have that serving spirit, able to use these gifts in light of the love of God. And teach us that reliance on one another. That we can't all do it together, whether it's the holiness of the church, whether it's the mission of the church, whether it's the service, that being united in the church, we cannot do it on our own. We rely on one another. And as much as that is the process that'll be ongoing, also appreciate this morning all of that process that you get to see and experience already. Like I mentioned, every service requires a bunch of people to take up various tasks in order for everything to run smoothly. After this, you're going to go outside or you're going to stand in the hallway and you'll see all kinds of different conversations going on. Very different people, different ages, different backgrounds. Maybe we have guests coming from different places. Give thanks for the fellowship that is there. Give thanks to God for the body of believers. Give thanks that we do not have to follow Christ on our own. And we don't have all of the calling as a church as a to-do list individually. But that we may share with one another in our gifts, rely on one another, and so be the body of Christ. Amen. Now with that, looking at the church also with the blessings and the work that He does in mind, let's sing an Old Testament version of that where the Israelites are encouraged to also look at the city of Zion, God's work and love and righteousness there. Sing Psalm 48, stanzas 1 and 4. And keep in mind the view of the church in that way, to view the church in that way. Psalm 48, stanzas 1 and 4.